Hey guys, and welcome to the latest episode of Dad Knows Best. That's weird, I didn't say the episode number. Episode 41. I am Harrison Mudge, and I'm with my co-host, Adam Callum.
I can tell you're massively out of practice on this one. It's been a while though, hasn't it?
It's been a few weeks. We've had a lot of things going on. If you are new to the show, if you're new to listening or watching or wassailing, however you want to consume this multimedia content, this is a show about two dads. Me, of a newborn. He's now 6 months old. They grow up so fast. And yourself, Adam, father of two beautiful boys, 5 and 3.
Fucking hell, mate.
Six and three. That's how long it's been. He's a year older. We'll dive straight into it because we are busy people. I just wanted to basically do a bit of an update again on the little boy.
Before you get into
like
it,
like I said,
when does he stop being a newborn?
I'd say one.
Do you know that thing where it's like, when does a... You asked me like years ago, and it kind of got a flashback of like, when does like a gathering become like a get-together, a party, or a shindig?
Shindig. Yeah. So on that note, I actually think that... So the question is, when do they become a baby to a toddler? I guess it's when they're walking.
Walking,
right?
Yeah. They toddle cool. about.
So it's a toddler, it's not your baby. So I guess that would also mean that they're not a newborn anymore once they're toddling?
Correct.
There we go.
Yeah, no, but it can't go from newborn to toddler. Or does it?
I would say so, because if they're still a baby, then they're still a baby. Obviously.
Following that logic, 100%.
Stick with me. If crawling, not walking, baby, newborn.
But I see those two things as different. You have a newborn. Oh, no, I've got a kid. I've got a baby.
Okay, so you're thinking, okay, so you've got a line between newborn and baby.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because if your baby takes forever to walk, you'll be calling it a newborn until it's like two. It's not a newborn anymore. Hmm. You need a baby.
Okay.
By the way, if I'm just offending someone whose kid did not walk until they were two, every kid is special and they all grow up in their own unique way.
They're all special.
They're all snowflakes.
And what we'll do is we'll do another episode where we break down all the categories of age groups.
And I'll find new ways to insult your baby. What are we talking about today? I've got a topic, but you've got a topic. Cool. We'll go with yours today.
We'll see how we get on. I just wanted to like do a bit of an update again, as always. Like I say, 6 months. We did another photo. Still need to edit that, actually. But that was another thing.
Why does it take you so long to edit these photos?
Because if I don't do them there and then, I've not got time for them in the week normally.
Can anyone else see? These are like private photos.
Private to the point where, well, they're not private. They're just not public, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So like I've got one as a wallpaper. I've had a couple made as canvases. I told you about those, didn't I?
Nice.
So I got one of the dog and one of the boy. And I drastically miscalculated. You know when you read something in millimeters, and I was like, okay, 60 by 40 millimeters.
You're so bad at measurements.
Whatever
untrue.
It was,
because, unless it's pixels, you're
it
fucked.
Was, because it was in millimeters, I underestimated what 600 mils was. So 60 centimeters.
Yeah,
well, obviously. And I was like, yeah, that's right. And I did the maths right. I was like, it's 60 by 40 centimeters, yeah. 600 mils by 400 mils. Cool. But because it was in millimeters, the whole time I'd obviously in my mind scaled the images down slightly. So I'd ordered them, click, on the way, sweet. I was like, 60 by 40 centimeters. And then I was looking at the wall in my living room where they're going to go. I'm thinking, there's not a lot of space. And the plan is to have like a lot of pictures, different sizes and all that cool stuff. And then I obviously got a tape measure. I was like, okay, these are going to be big boys. So they arrived and they're great. They're like that big.
Good quality.
Yeah.
Nice. So. I think I found a little hack for you. Based on that same logic, if I ever need like to borrow some cash off you, I'd be like, can I borrow 3,742 pence, please? And you'd be like,
absolutely.
It's
probably in the dash of my car. I'll go get it now. So anyway, after nearly what feels like a week and a half into the opening of the show, topic that I'm bringing to the table today is weaning, because it's a new thing that obviously we're introducing to him. We dabbled with it early on at like... maybe 4 or 5 months. Now, apparently you're not supposed to do anything until about 6 months.
What's the definition of weaning?
So, I'm glad you asked. What is the definition of weaning? Well, let me answer that question, SEO.
So just off milk?
Yeah, it's weaning onto solids. So okay. So a baby obviously is just drinking milk at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And still, and essentially a baby will wean from milk to solids from like 6 months to into their year one and onwards until they're like fully on food. Mm-hmm. But that process, so we did a weaning class as well. And
the in way, person or digital?
Yeah, in person. This was prior to any lockdown and social distancing. And the way she explained it is until there was like a rhyme, like food's for fun until they're one. And then after that, they start like actually eating. So like,
sounds like a shit rhyme.
Yeah, it's the way she said it and pronounces the number one, it made more sense. Whereas okay. for me, it's number one. Where you know yeah. what I mean? Food's for fun at number one, whatever, however people pronounce it. So now he's at the point where
money well spent.
Well, it was free. So.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
So. In these times now, it's just a case of introducing him to different foods, different flavors. But he's basically just eating blended veg. So mm-hmm. like carrot, peas, whatever. And just obviously getting used to a spoon because he's used to sucking. Yeah, so when yeah. you first give a baby a spoon, they're just kind of...
Yeah.
And they start sucking on it. But yeah, he's been kind of really taken to it, to be honest with you. So just you, like his daddy, he's been.
It's weird how I know more about probably my brother's kids on this subject matter, but they just blended their own food from like yep. very early on.
Yeah. So that's what surprised me. Essentially, yeah, he's not getting our main dinners at the moment, but exactly that.
Good, because you knew that what we were talking was a brownie and a beer.
the weekend, it was for fun. But so yeah, that so the weird thing was it, or the I didn't really know what the answer was, but basically we were told that when they start weaning, they can eat anything you will eat,
mm-hmm.
apart from maybe like certain things like nuts or stuff that's yeah, known yeah. to be like allergy inducing or something,
or just down to how dense it is. Obviously, they've got gums, not teeth.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and
I don't think Reggie has nuts still.
They've got
three.
tiny stomachs as well. So like the amount that they're eating and stuff, yep. like it's like a single floret blended, and they still probably won't finish it, sort of thing. What it does now. So he's been having veg, but the really interesting byproduct of all this is he's now obviously getting a lot more fiber in his diet,
and less nappies,
and his poops are transitioning from just baby poops to like solid firm adult poops, like to the point where one rolled off the changing table.
Oh, dude. How do you let that? I don't even know the details. Like, well, we just lost half our listenership right now.
I wasn't there, all 50,000.
You should put a PSA on the front of this episode.
I think there's a PSA somewhere. If they don't know us by now, then subscribe.
I think it's
a really interesting time to obviously transition him and see the change there. But like more than anything, I was just blown away by the fact that they can actually eat
food,
anything that yeah. you can eat. Obviously, he's not got teeth like you say, so you have to blend it all. But even
are
like
you put that in like a Nutribullet or something.
Like We are.
Nice, that's cool.
And if you want to buy a Nutribullet, I'll link it.
See what I did there, VMH?
What other blending apparatus do you recommend? he's really kind of taken to it. So we probably, like I say, we started probably weaning him every two or three days since for about 4 months.
Mm-hmm.
He'd go a week without giving him anything, but now we're probably trying him every day. One meal a day, so we'll have dinner in the evening. He'll have like a baby rice or carrots or anything like that, and then his milk still. But like he's really starting to eat.
That's cool.
So you get like a little bowl.
I can imagine if anyone's seen you in person, all of this makes sense.
Yeah. Oh yeah. he's got the mudge gene. Let's just say that. So even like a bowl. Imagine the lid of your water bottle here. So
yep.
Flip that the lid. He'll probably finish a bowl of carrot or something.
Trouble is right now, I'm like, well, I can't even remember like what my kids used to eat. I don't really know what they have for dinner now.
Did you, because obviously you had a busy time during the early days.
Well put.
With
Yeah,
with Riley. Work and obviously, and Riley and that. Yeah. Did you get too involved with feeding and stuff?
No. It makes me sound shit, but it's just the truth. Mm-hmm. For the first 18 months, I was not there that often. I was there like to drop in, spend a bit of time, but as a like active father, mm-hmm. participating and being as supportive and present as I should have been, just wasn't. And my wife may be aware of that, like 2 years after the fact, just to point it out, which made it even worse. But you can't go back. You're not even close to fixing the problem.
I mean, that is something you've got to give women credit for, is they'll hold on to a
grudge
and
they'll
hold
it and
hold it and hold it and hold it. They'll sit on that golden egg
until maximum impact. But I made those changes with Reggie. I think I'm just closer to him. I delivered him, so I'm like, it's just my favorite. I'm joking. But I made those changes and I was more active with feeding and mm-hmm. weaning. I always got confused by the term, to be honest, because it always felt like weaning was the other way around, but it's not. It's,
you wean them off the bottle, essentially.
Yeah. I can't really remember at what age he did it, though. I just do remember like that face you pulled earlier with the spoon, mm-hmm. like obsessed with it. Obsessed, even when the thing's empty and there's no food on it, obsessed with it.
Well, he's becoming more aware of like our things as well. So is it that age now where anything within even your arm's reach he can somehow grab? So like I'll hold him at the dinner table after we've had our dinner and I'll have a pint of water and he'll reach for it because he kind of knows what to do with it as well. I've even tried giving him a sip of the water and he's not obviously mastered drinking out of an open cup, but bizarrely he's already picked up, like he knows we're eating now because he kind of recognizes this sort of hand to mouth action. I guess he's probably recognized that a cup is similar to his bottle. Mm-hmm. So I guess a similar action, right? So yeah, he's now starting to be a bit more like whatever things are moving around.
Just generally like more inquisitive around food stuff like that.
Yeah. So but he always meets the first mouthful he ever has of anything is always like and then loves it and just wants it.
Okay. So is it helping weirdly? Is it helping with his sleep patterns or calming him at all?
Regarding sleep, he's been really good anyway. He now goes down to bed about like 8 o'clock at night. Mm-hmm. And then he's up at 6:30 every morning without fail. It was initially really annoying, but now I've learned to really enjoy it as a really nice alarm clock because it's
that's amazing.
Other than this morning, because we kept up a bit later because we FaceTimed with my mum last night and that was like 8:30, so we stayed up a bit later and he slept a bit longer. But normally he wakes me up at about 6:30 and then he gets in the bed and we just have a nice little morning of the family in the bed.
That's cool,
which I'm really enjoying as well, actually. So that's where that's just like enjoyable moments at the moment.
Nice. I'm just looking at time, mate. I'm not too sure if you want to get into my topic now or do you want to save it for next week? Because it feels like it could be a meaty one.
Let's go for it, mate. Let's go for it. This is part two.
The topic that I wanted to bring to the table was, I guess, well, two things happened in the last couple of weeks. So right now, what's the date? Everything's lost on me.
Today is the 30th.
Sounds about right. So 30th of April.
I've got all these 29th of April as of recording.
So been in lockdown for, I don't know, 4 weeks now, 5 weeks, is that about right? Something like that.
Yeah. And feels like a lifetime.
Two things happened. And I just wanted to share them because it was just like really impactful for me. So the first one was probably like 3 weeks ago with Reggie. So Reggie just started to go to like nursery and getting him to socialize was quite tough. Like we'd drop him off and I drop him off a couple of times and he'd basically just run back to the door and just be like, don't leave, don't want to be here. And then he'd cry for a long time. And then it got to the point because Sarah really struggled to leave him. She would, but you could tell it was great on her that she asked the people there to just give her a call once he'd settled down. And sometimes a call wouldn't come for a while. So Sarah wasn't happy. But he managed to make some friends and start to enjoy it. And then with lockdown happening, he's obviously just at home with his older brother and Sarah and me. I mean, I didn't really think much of it. We just thought, well, it's just like a weekend, an extended weekend. And then the other day he was chatting to me on the chatting to me on the couch, and we're just talking just about nothing really, just enjoying having a conversation with him, and then his lip starts to go. And he's a real stubborn little git. He tries to hold it all back, but he's as soft as anything inside. He's like a cream egg. It's just like just a gooey mess.
Delicious.
In the middle. And he burst out into tears after he let it go. I was like, dude, what's the matter? We'll give him a cuddle. It turns out he missed his friends. And he's got one friend he absolutely loves called Ranveer. Just like the best buds at school. And then we got chatting and he was working through it. And he was like, I miss Ranveer. And I hadn't really considered that at all. So that was like one thing. And I thought, wow, this socialization thing is like, I think it kind of dawned on me that there's more going on in my kids' heads than I'd ever imagined. And this is sort of like my big realization in the last couple of weeks with the boys.
Well, even we have a bit of a fear at the moment that I know Elliot's still super young, but he's not socializing with family at the moment. So not only are they just missing him, but we feel like could be just making it up, but it feels like an opportunity for him to become super attached to us.
Yeah.
But then when you go take him around Nanny and Pops again, he's all like...
But it's the same at any age, I think, right now, when they're that impressionable, because when we want to get Reggie... Because Reggie is actually going to miss like the last term of his nursery, and he's going into big school. He's going into proper school.
Yeah.
So it's a massive leap for him. So what we... Off the back of that, one, it was just a massive learning curve I just wanted to share.
What are you doing about that though? Not that you can, I guess, do much, but
well, we just wanted to like let him know that like Ranveer's still like he's still around. It's not as if you're never going to see him again, because the way that he was speaking, it was just like he's never going to see Ranveer again, as if like that relationship's over. And we obviously through school they can't give out contact information and stuff. So bless Sarah, like she went on a hunt and just found Ranveer's parents online and then reached out and then set up a play date. So they had like an hour and a half on FaceTime together.
That's cool.
Showing toys, having a play, and he just lit up. It was just like magic. I can't even explain it. It was magical. So that's one thing. And
is it, have they been FaceTiming?
They're going to probably do it every weekend. Cool. Just touch base. And we were like, oh, which other parent should we connect to? But he had like one best bud. So it's like, if they get to spend time together, fantastic. So there was that, which I thought was just, it was just a learning curve. And then the other thing, I was at the dinner table about 2 weeks ago. And I'm sat there, like, I can imagine I look just completely expressionless. Like, just nothing going on.
What, were you having dinner or?
So imagine like, we have a square table. Riley sat on one side playing on Fortnite and I'm sat the other side, and I think I'd just journaled. So I put my pen down and stuff like that, and I was just sat there just thinking. And I was thinking about everything that's going on in the world, work, stuff like that. Excuse me. And
excuse me, mate, I can't stop yawning. It's all these hard grafting days.
And I'm just sat there and I can see him, like his eyes keep flicking up to me. Like, as in looking at me and then going back down. And looking at me and going back down. And I just...
out of the corner of his eye.
No, he's sort of like, head comes up, comes out of his game, mid-game. I can hear stuff going on, and mid-game he's glancing up, and I'm like, that's weird. So I watched him play, and like, I know when he's in it, he's fucking it, I've lost him. So he keeps looking up, and I just look at him, I go, what's the matter, mate? And he just looked at me and just said, I know you're not happy. And just broke into tears.
Jesus.
And it like those two things for me.
So why was that?
I think he just sensed just my general concern. Cause like,
was it, do you think it was because you were journaling though, and you were in like it, you were just in a, you were thinking of everything, or were you actually in a bit of a funk at the time?
Well, he's used to seeing me journal. That's fine. And what was actually going through my head at the time was I was thinking about the business. I was thinking about family. I was thinking about relatives. I was just thinking about everything. And I honestly felt like there was a bit of weight on shoulders and just stressed. Wow. And it just hit me like a ton of bricks, man. I was like, one, just love, like just the fact that he was just so in tune and wanted to So he said, I know you're not happy, broke in tears, and came and just gave me a big cuddle. And I was just like, he's just so caring, it's untrue. I'd like just like maybe melt. And then I was like, it's amazing what these kids are picking up on.
Yeah.
Both of them, that what's going through their head. And I was just like, to have like a kid at that age care so much about you and they can pick it up, even though when you think it's all just subconscious thought, I don't know, it just shocked me. And it's made me be more transparent and vocal with what's going on in my head with my kids. Because now I'm like, not to this extent, but I'm like, he's fucking, like, he knows what's going on. So I may as well communicate what's going on with him. I'm not feeling too happy today because of this. And here's what I'm going to do about it to make things better. Like that sort of thing.
Well, I think we all kind of know that they're taking a lot. Well, obviously, just how much is the unknown. But I think, I guess, part of it is probably because we don't realize how, what's the best way of explaining it? Like when we think we're putting on a brave face, even though we're not in the same sort of mental state that we normally in, you think, oh, I think I'm holding myself well together. Mm-hmm. And I get, maybe kids are more attuned to it. And then as you grow older, you sort of lose that ability. But like you always get a vibe sometimes when someone comes into the office, for example, and they're clearly having an off day, but they've not done anything different. But you can just tell there's an aura about them where they're just in a funk.
It's like with your wife. Like, you know, when you walk in, your wife can just read me.
Tell me all about my wife.
But it's like, you know what I mean? Like with your partner, they can just pick up on, if you've been together long enough, they just look at you and know. And I assume that you just get that with age and learning body language stuff like that. But I think it's maybe just when you spend so much time with someone, passively or actively, you just learn their what's going on. Yeah. It just really, really impacted me the last couple of weeks. And it's just made me...
I guess it's quite heartbreaking.
Massively.
For them to be upset that you're upset as well is quite emotional.
Massively. I mean, I had a really good long chat with Sarah. I was like, that's just not me for six.
What? How did you handle it with him? Did you let him know that you were okay, or did you just explain what?
He said, you know, and I pulled him onto my lap and he was upset, and I sort of like gave him a cuddle. And I was like, firstly, I love you to bits. Like, you obviously know daddy really well. I said, and you're right. I said, today I just feel like I'm down. I said, because there's a lot going on, and I just shared with him what's going on. Not into the level of detail that he needs to know, but like some things at work haven't gone well. So I'm just trying to get a plan of how I can fix them. And I know that you're not able to go out and do the things you want to do. So I'm trying to think of things to do at the weekend to make them special. Like, I tried to flip everything into a positive, but tried to have a conversation with him so he understood what was going through my head. And now I'm just trying to be more, I guess, vocal and transparent with what's going on. So if I'm like in a bad mood or I can feel myself a bit edgy, normally I try and hold it in. But now I'm like, Riley, if he asks me, and he's like, if he's doing something that's pissing me off, I'd be like, Riley, I'm not in a fantastic mood right now because I'm trying to do this. Could you make sure you don't do A, B, and C?
That's interesting as well, because he'll then be learning how you're handling these situations yourself.
Yeah.
Like, so being vocal and telling someone, hey, I'm a little bit
that's like half
the story. Moment.
You have to spin
give me
it.
Some space. So he's like, okay, so daddy obviously tells people if he's not in a good mood, he tells people. Because otherwise, the alternative being if you don't, but he still feels that you're being...
Is you have to lock
you're
up.
You're in a mood. I must keep things...
Don't tell people how I feel. Don't tell people. But I think the most important thing of what I do with Riley is, here's what's going on that is getting me down or I'm stressed about. And then making sure I end the sentence with, and here's what I'm going to do to fix it. Because it's share the emotion, but also saying like, I'm trying to work out how to fix it or how to make it better or how to do this thing. Just always trying to like upwards curve it to positivity. I think that's what I'm trying to do.
It's a good outlook, mate.
Cheers, man.
Have you learnt those techniques or?
Potentially passively without realizing, but through coaching. So the coaching that I had, business coaching or professional coaching that I had last year, everything that I brought to the table, he made me feel like I had the tool set to go and fix it. And I think that was really empowering. So I'm I guess without realizing it, I've taken that into my family.
Because it's quite a self-aware mentality, self-awareness mentality, to be like, why am I upset, and mm-hmm. how do I make myself feel better? Whereas some people just get in a bit of a funk and they're just outwardly frustrated, which we can all be, and you start lashing out at people.
But I think one thing that helps me with that is just journaling. Like mm-hmm. If I'm in a bad mood, I ask myself why in my journal. I'm like feeling stressed, feeling pissed off, whatever it is, and then I ask myself like why, and then just try and get to the root cause.
And then I guess it depends on what the root cause is, but how do you then, or what are your actions to then change the funk that you're in?
Weirdly, I don't know if we spoke about it on this or another podcast, but I look at what I can influence. So here's the reason that I'm upset. Like, can I do anything right now to influence it? If it's yes, I just break them down into actions I can actually do, write on the right-hand side of my journal and just make them things. Because then all of a sudden it's not a problem. It's like, I'm doing these four things. It's like getting the problem on paper and coming away with actions and positivity is like how you, and if I can't influence it, I go, well, I've got no control. Like, why should I stress over something I can't control? And you have to just let them rationalize the problem and then move on, which is really hard. Mm-hmm. It's easy to say, it's hard to do.
So you'd recommend writing shit down then?
Journaling's really, really important to me right now.
And what do you write? Just literally how you're feeling, what you're doing?
Yeah, so there's loads of different ways to journal. And there's stuff like the 5-minute journal, which is a standardized way, which is talking about things you appreciate, things you want to get done, things that you're concerned about. Like there's a standardized pages in a book. Mm-hmm. How I do it, I've just got a diary basically. And if it's in the morning, I'll just write an M and then what's going on. If it's midday or in the evening, I'll just go in. If I can feel myself getting tense, like I've got it with me now, like that's it for those of you that are watching the YouTube video. I try and keep it
a fancy notepad, mate. What is that?
I don't think you can get an Amazon link to that. Well, you might be able to actually.
It's a Mont Blanc.
Well, that was a 30th birthday present from the wife, okay, actually. Okay. And I specifically,
the product code on
that? Specifically use it for that. But I try and keep it close to me now because it's so important that as soon as I can feel myself getting, do you know what I mean? Well, you know when you're getting outside mm-hmm. and off balance, I just sort of like, why am I feeling like this? And I just take it to my notepad and try and run through a process, which then helps.
Yeah, I think probably serves. It's just, I guess it's just like, let me stop, let me breathe, let me think what is actually, even if you don't necessarily write it down, I think if you just say, what is upsetting me right now and how do I fix it?
Well, what you just said, so literally at the top of my page right now, my process is, so last week at the top of my page, I was trying to say my four things. It was like calm, focused, strategic, and organized, because there's just a lot going on with work and I just needed to get my shit together. Mm-hmm. And this week it's just a process of how to deal with stuff. So it's breathe, think, ask why, be rational, decide, and move on. Just done. And everything that comes up, I try and follow that process. Now that's like my little way of doing stuff.
Like it. We'll leave it there, guys. Thank you so much for watching. And I nearly said it again. Thank you so much for watching. Thank you so much for listening. I've clearly lost the ability to speak. If you want to get in touch, email dadknowsbest@nbs.fm. And we will speak to you guys next time.